the city of Santa Paula and cross. Thank you, Jesus, that you left heaven to come to earth so that we could one day leave earth and go to heaven. You're the only way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Not one of many, but the only way. It's pretty more straightforward. So I thank you, Jesus, that today we're seeking you. You promised to reward those that seek you. So give us a peace and a joy that only comes from you. Thank you for answered prayer across the room. And we ask you, Lord, now to bless this message and use it to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need a Bible, we can be glad to put one in your hand. And I will do a little commercial on the Believe series. I'm excited about this one.
You're welcome.
I'll show you. We're always looking for a bargain. Andy found a box down in
Montgomery, Alabama.
And he said, I just thought you might need this, Dad. Andy looks out for me. That's good. And opened it up, and it was a Believe book in it. And it was it's filled with anything you need, even the songs, videos, whatever like that. I looked it up online. It cost $349 for that box. Seen them on sale for like $295. Andy paid $29.95 for that box. He's got it at Ollie's or, whatever, Big Lots or something. He said, I just thought you could use it. I didn't even hardly look at it last fall, but this, and I started looking now. So, God, this is what we need. It's very basic. Believe, living the story of the Bible to become like Jesus. And it takes different chapters, of course, and just makes it real, real simple. And I don't know about you, I think the basics are the very elements of our faith need to be covered a lot. Sometimes people, it's easy in this world to just get so confused and say, well, is God the only way? Well, yes, but you hear about, I'm offending people if they believe in Allah. Allah's not Jehovah God. You know, if you don't like that, I'm sorry. Well, no. God is our God. And this world's very confusing, but in a world of being politically correct, I don't want to hurt Joe's feelings. So, Joe, I got to tell you the truth. You know, if Joe was dying of something, do you want me to tell you the truth, Joe? Right? The world needs to know the truth, but we think, well, I love. So I said, God, just use this book. So the very first was God. Is there a God? How do you know? Chapter 2 talks about a personal God. Can you know him? Chapter 3, salvation. And what it is, it's about 14 pages. That's 2 pages a day. Now, and it does not have pictures, so I'm sorry for some of you that, you might actually. But it does have a diagram here and there. But if you can read about 2 pages a day, your assignment for next week, read this chapter 1. And by the end of the time, you will probably know, because there are some things that people are like, oh, I'm not sure of this. And so this book, I think it'll be a blessing to you. And I'm excited. I believe we can know our faith better. Sometimes I'd like to, I'm going to pray for me to get rid of this. I'm going to have an ear, nose, and throat doctor look at me one of these days. Maybe in a couple of years. But anyway, I think we can know this stuff, and then when someone says, how do you know there's only God? How do you know this is the only way? Well, and this will give us our basics. So it's going to reassure some of you of your faith. It's going to maybe introduce you to some things that you haven't heard of before. There's a short little video each week. And anybody ever seen Chalk Talks before? Somebody just does pictures on there. This videos, we've got Chalk Talks in them. They've got different things. And this series comes from Max Lucado's church. So I like Max, and so I appreciate the fact that God is using different things in His perfect timing. This brand new year, we're going to sort of be encouraged to know some things that perhaps we never have. Now, what about this week? All right, I'm going to finish the series on choices, faith and choices, and we're going to start a brand new series next week. How many people going to be here next week? Go ahead. Let's look for 50 people for Valentine's Day. Pray for 50 people. God honors His word. I'm not about numbers, but then God, He's got a book in the Bible called numbers, so it must mean something. So invite people and bring them. So faith and choices. We're going to finish this one today, though. Please try to be here for the Believe series. I'm excited. I think you'll like it. Life is filled with choices. Sometimes it's just hard to know exactly what to do, so let's continue to take a closer look at some people in the Bible who made some choices and see what the outcome was. Today we're going to take a look at this woman right here, Ruth. So find in your Bible, Ruth. If you're here on a Sunday night, I've been going through Ruth, so you guys that have perhaps heard something, you say, okay, now where in the world is Ruth? Okay, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Ruth comes right up at the very first of your Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Joshua, Judges, and then Ruth comes up. If you got a Bible like mine, it's on page 300. Yours is 187 if you got the Blue Pew Bible, as we call it. Blue Pew. This is the book of Ruth. By the way, a little testing here. Who said, choose you this day whom you'll serve with us, for me and my house we'll serve the Lord? Who was that? That was Joshua, just a few, a couple books before this. Who was that had that big Mount Carmel experience calling down fire to lap up all that? That was, the prophet's name was Elijah. So Elijah had the Mount Carmel, and Joshua said, choose you this day. Those guys are, who did we talk about last week? I'm getting close. Who did we talk about last week? He had a lot to say about him. Lot. Yeah, that was the book of Ruth. I'm going to mention, last week we took a look at Lot, whose choices eventually took him to a dark and sinful place. His direction took him to a destination that caused him much pain and almost his death. He most likely never imagined he would end up in the place he did, doing the things he did. You know, we can sometimes make a choice and just say, well, I don't guess this is going to make it that bad. Actually, Lot, he left that city with his two daughters. Where's his wife at? She's in this picture. She's right back here. She glanced back, looking at the town of Sodom and Gomorrah there, and turned to a pillar of salt. Some scholars think, well, maybe did that show that she still longed to be back there? Lot was actually dragged out by angels that got him out of there. Why? Because he wanted to stay. And what do? They grabbed him by the hand. Mom or dad ever grabbed you by the hand, keep you from getting hit by a car, or, let me grab your hand to keep you from falling? God sent his angels in and rescued Lot. Was Lot a good guy? Well, Bible calls him what? Righteous. So he's as much in heaven as I am. By the way, when you sin, you're not loved any less. And when you're just doing a great job, you're not loved anymore. God's love is consistent. So today we're going to take a look at a young woman who most likely never imagined that she would end up in the place she did. But because of some good choices she made, she progressed closer to God, and he blessed her for doing that, and her direction took her to a great destination. Ruth chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name Naomi, and the names of their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Got a question for you so far here for the first few verses. Where'd they go? What's the name of the town?
Moab.
You might know any history on Moab. The Moabite people lived there. Is this a good town, bad town?
Bad town.
Remember who we talked about last week was Lot? And Lot is... I'm going to go back to Genesis and show you something. In Genesis, Lot had to be... in a town that, didn't have to be in the town, but he chose to be in a town that was pretty rugged and not so good, and it's called Sodom. And the Bible is full of some things that you don't really want to tell people sometimes, but you say, well, it's the truth. And I'm going to read you some of those dark verses. So don't tell us that. Well, if it's in here, I got to tell you. Genesis chapter 19, you don't have to turn back for it, but Lot and his two daughters left Sodom And Genesis chapter 19, verse 30 says, Lot and his two daughters left Zoar. They left there and went to a little town called Zoar. Zoar means small. And settled in the mountains, for he was afraid to stay in Zoar. He and his two daughters lived in a cave. One day, the older daughter said to the younger, now you won't like this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. One day, the older daughter said to the younger, our father is old and there is no man around here to lie with us, as is the custom all over the world. Verse 32, let's get our father to drink wine and then what? Lie with him and preserve our family through our father. You say, well, that sounds awful. I'm just telling you what's here. That night they got the father to drink wine, and the older daughter went in and lay with him, and he was not aware when she lay down or when she got up. Next day the older daughter said to the younger, last night I lay with my father, let's get him to drink wine again, and you go in and lie with him so we can preserve our family line through our father. So they got their father to drink wine, and that night also, and the younger daughter went and lay with him, and again he was not aware of when she came lay down or when she got up. So both of Lot's daughters became pregnant by their father. The older daughter had a son, and she named him Moab. That's the father of the Moabite people. That's sort of like George Washington to the United States. So you're living in Moab. What's your lineage on that one? Wow. Not exactly something you want to pull out the big books in the courthouse and go, here's where we came from. Oh, wow. Yeah, I wouldn't want to tell that to anybody. But I'm just telling you, that's where Ruth lives. So, these people from Israel move into this town. You say, who are they? Verse 5, you've got some people now. Elimelech, his wife Naomi, Mahlon, and Chilion, they go to Moab. Now, you say, well, gosh, that's not a lot different than Lot going into Sodom. Well, wait a minute now. Why'd they go to Moab? There's famine. They're starving to death. So they're going to move there. Do you think they'll move back home? Oh, yeah, as soon as they can. And I used to think, Lord, why'd you send them to Moab? God's got a plan that we don't know. I think God might have just sent them in long enough to get Ruth out of there. You ever felt like God came over the bank to get you?
Yeah.
Don't tell me that dark place that you were in that time, because everybody in here's got a testimony. All of us got a story. Some of us might be a little, you say, I can remember that I was, or you just fill it in. And I won't make fun of you and say, well, I used to do this. Hey, been there, done that, because sinners sin is sin. We're all sinners. So God might have crawled over the bank and got briars stuck on his skin to get you. He was that, you're that little lamb that I got to go get him. Left the 99, let me go get Edgar over the bank. And what really sort of breaks his heart is that, Martin, we keep wandering off once we're found, don't we? Well, guess what? Lot was rescued out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham, whew, all right, I'm going to leave you be. Where'd he go? Right back into Sodom. You ever do that? Lord, you just get me out of this. So I can go right back into it. Oh. You ever went back in a burning building before? I haven't either. But boy, you wonder sometimes. God's so merciful. Well, they're going to get Ruth. That's God's plan. You say, you don't know that. I'm just guessing. She lives in Moab. It's not a great town. Their great, 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 or father of the country, so to speak, came out of an incestuous relationship. Wow. Now, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, he moves them there to get food and to keep them alive. And guess what? Verse 3, he dies. Oh, this is not going to be good. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left with her two sons. At least they got two men to keep working and help them. Guess what? They married Moabite women. One name was Orpah and the other Ruth. And after they lived there about 10 years, guess what? The two sons died. Mahlon and Chilion died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. You got three women. Don't think I'm sexist. I don't mean that the wrong way. You got three women trying to, I know y'all are good workers. Jenny could probably do better when I do go to heaven. I mean, it's like she's just working hard. She's a good worker. But I mean, women I know can work. But my point is, three women are left in a town by themselves. About that time, God from heaven ends the famine. What are they going to do? They're going to go back home. See? They probably couldn't wait to leave this place. I'm not saying it was like Sodom. I'm just saying it was a tough town.
So they decide the two sons and her husband are now gone. Verse 6, when she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing the food for them, Naomi and her daughter-in-laws prepared to return home from there. With her two daughter-in-laws, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. What's Judah represent? God. Moab represents, well, let's go back. So we're going to leave Sin Town and head back. We're going to leave Vegas and head back to Giles County. Okay? I mean, Mark knows on some things like that. And you know what? What's that old thing? What happens in Vegas? What happens in Giles? Everybody knows. I just thought I'd tell you that because we're a small town. They're ready to go back home. It's an exciting time. So Naomi said, all right, to her daughter-in-laws, you go back, each of you, to your mother's home. Y'all stay here. It's where you grew up. May the Lord show kindness to you. You've shown kindness to the dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud, saying goodbye, so tough. And they said to her, we will go back with you and your people. But Naomi said, wait, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? There's no reason to do that. Am I going to have more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband, even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight. And then gave birth to sons. Would you wait around until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it's better. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me. Funny, when things go wrong, it's God's fault. When things go right, we're just lucky. Quit doing that. Do you think God's in this story? Can I give you a little spoiler alert? Guess who Ruth's going to be the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother to? Jesus Christ. I think he's in this story. I know I'm spoiling it, but at this they wept again. And then Orpha said, well, okay. She kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Now, if you look at that word clung, that means that she's grabbing her so hard. You know, you probably, if you took it off, you'd see imprints of four fingers. It's like, what is she saying to Ruth? I'm not going anywhere. Or Ruth saying this to Naomi. I'm not leaving. I'm here for the what? Long haul. I'm here till I finish. And she says, no, Ruth, you've got to go. No, you've got, Ruth, you're young, beautiful. Why don't you go have a life of your own and just let me go back home? I'll die an old widow. No, you're not. I'm going with you. And then she saw that she would not change her mind. She's like, okay. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. By the way, her people and her gods are not Jehovah like we know him. Or they are false gods. Yeah, they got a god in the Old Testament called Molech that people would serve sometimes. And they wanted to please him, Molech, false god. They would have a roaring fire, and they'd come over and put a sacrifice in the fire to try to please Molech. That's what the sacrifice was. Their children. That's how wicked and vile. Can you imagine a country that kills unborn or kills children? Wow. So nobody's quite like, is that us? Where's my book here? Let me give you something about the, this is the book of ministries, love this book. We were overlooking a village of tent dwellers, one with which the teacher was well acquainted. There was a single person inside, a young woman sitting by the door of a tent. She's with child, he said. Within her womb is the most delicate of beings, a new life. The only real protection it has is the womb. In Hebrew, the word for womb is rechem, R-E-C-H-E-M. It comes from the word rachem, R-A-C-H-A-M,
And what does Rachem mean? The young man asked. Rachem means of tender love, deep compassion, and mercy. In fact, Rachem means both mercy and womb at the same time. You'll find mercy in the womb. How are these two connected? Well, the womb is a place of tenderness, nurturing, and protection. If not for that tender love, we never would have been born. And yet the word Rachem, which can mean both mercy and womb, is used in Scripture for the love and mercy of God. So the word used for God's love is linked to the womb. And that's the mystery. Well, what's the mystery? The love and mercy of God is like a womb. How? Well, it is God's Rahim, His tender love and deep compassion that causes us to be born. Born again. In the book of John, Messiah tells the Jewish leader Nicodemus that to enter heaven, one must be born again. Nicodemus responds with a question. Can a man enter his mother's womb to be born when he is old? The answer is no. But there is a womb that we can enter, the Rahim, the womb of God's tender mercy. And it is that mercy, that Rahim, the womb of His love that tenderly keeps us throughout our lives, that keeps us, holds us, nurtures us, and protects us from harm. And it is by living in that love and mercy that we grow and are formed into the child of heaven we were called to become. The Rahim of God is the Rahim of our new birth. For every birth must have a womb, and the womb of our new birth is God's tenderness and His love. When you're in the womb, you're protected. Why would somebody want to yank you out of protection? Why would somebody want to pull you out of that tenderness and mercy of God? Would our world do that? Yeah, they can even make it legal someplace. When I was being nurtured by my spiritual mama, she was very spiritual to me. She was, but my earthly mom, but then my spiritual father, God, took me over and He put me in His womb, and I was born. And when I was about 8 years old, September 22nd was my real birth. Around July 13th was my next birth. And I was safe in that womb. You got to keep me safe. God has no abortion. And God will not abort you. He's got a plan for you. And if He's got you in the womb of His mercy and compassion, when you come forth, you're born again. Amen?
Amen.
Wow. He's got a plan for Ruth. I don't even know if Ruth's a Christian. But for about 10 years, she's listened to Elimelech, and she's listened to Naomi and Mahlon and Chilion talk about this Jehovah God, and she's never known a Jehovah God. All I know is the God of this crazy place. Tell me about the real God. Well, Jehovah God offers you a life with Him. You just place your trust and faith in Him. And she's listened to that for about 10 years. I think she's soaking it up like a sponge. And so when Naomi wants to go back home, she wants to go back and hear more about this God. If she's not saved, she's going to be. And if she is, she says, I got to go back with you. Why? Because I'm going back to God's town and God's people. Can I go? What did Lot's wife want to do? She wanted to stay where she was. Ruth says, I want to go back with you. She has no idea what she's getting into. Sure, like other people. Sure, I'll come to church. What's Life Point like? Well, God's here. Look, said Naomi, let's go back to your people. Your sister-in-law's going back to her people, and her gods go back with her. Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. I want you to show what commitment really is right here. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Your people will be my people. And watch this. And your God will what? Be my God. She's either saved or she says, right now, commit myself to Jehovah God. And if that's not clear enough, verse 17 says, where you die? Wow. What did Jesus now tell? Tender. What did she just now tell Naomi? In this lifetime, you'll never be what?
Alone.
You'll never be alone. Not as long as you have a life. Wow. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That sounds sort of familiar, doesn't it? Okay. Grab your bags. I don't have any bags. You just come on then. She walked back and
wonder what you would think if I was Ruth. I'm walking back to the town. I don't know anybody. I'll be glad to get home. This is my new home. She said that she did have bags. She walks in front of me. This place is great. What's the name? Some of us have bound and had some friends one time or another. We get excited about something and they're like, this is the best food I've ever eaten. That's all right. Be pig flop or something. Okay, great. I'll think it's great. You think it's awful. I love this. You go. They go back to town and guess when Naomi, watch her. Bless her heart. Maybe she's mean as well, but Ruth's determined to go with her, Sue. Finally, Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, so she stopped urging her and says, all right, come on. So the two women went on until they came to a place that where Jesus was from, Bethlehem. And when they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. See, Elimelech and Naomi, when they left Mahlon, Chilion, they missed them. And now they can't wait to have them back in town. Probably got a banner up, welcome Naomi. You know, people just, Naomi's coming. Yeah, there's their car. Come on, they jumped out by the road. Driving up to it. Who's driving the car, by the way? Ruth. Naomi's. Ruth's just this effervescent, constantly smiling, happy Naomi. You say, she's not that bad, is she? Well, I'll show you. Whole town come out, yeah, they're back. And the women exclaim, can this be Naomi? By the way, Naomi's name means pleasant. Naomi's name means pleasant. You're not living up to her name. A little stepping on your toes there. You're called Christian. Do you live up to your name? Don't be ragging on this woman too much now. You got steps on my toes when I read the Bible. Can this be Naomi? This pleasant woman? She gets out of the car, closes the door. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Myra. You know what Myra means? Bitterness. Wow. Got a name change. Don't call me pleasant. Call me bitter. My life's over. It's worthless. I don't even know why I'm alive. What do you think if you're Ruth on the other side of the car? It can be over. I tell you what, I'm not at it with this negativity. No, she didn't say it. Now, Mom, call your mom. Put your arm, come on. Come on now. It's gonna be a great day. Come on. This Ruth's hard to beat. Anybody's name Ruth? Ruth? Now, these men like Ruth, y'all gotta live up here. Now, Ruth is just such a pleasant. Do you think she's saved at this point? Does she know God? Sure sounds like it. She got saved because of two deaths and a famine. And a family that was relocated. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Myra because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. If you're Ruth, you probably feel like, thanks a lot. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. My life is just worthless. Wow. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess and her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was just beginning. I don't want to spoil the rest of the story of Ruth, but God shows them up just in time. Ruth gets to work, and by the end of this book, she has a son. That son's going to be in the lineage of Jesus. What's the difference between Ruth? Well, in Ruth chapter 1, you saw a story of a woman's life that took a direction that she had not planned on going back to Judah, but I'm going to live in Moab. No, I'm not. I'm going to get on this path, and the next thing horse's path lead her. Lot chose to leave God's people and go to the town of Sodom. Ruth chose to leave Moab, which is a pretty bad town, and go back to God's people. Lot was among the vile sinners away from God, and Ruth was among good people with God when she went back. And both of them were out of their elements. Lot chose to stay in sin. Ruth chose to go into righteousness. Lot lost his wife, and guess what? Ruth gained a husband. His name's Boaz. Boaz just happens to be the wealthiest, good-looking man in the area.
See what you get when you do God's will?
Boaz, top dog there. Both ended up being counted as righteous before God. So I still vote for Lot, but Lot was counted as a righteous man. I think Ruth is... God put his hand upon her and anointed her. Put her in the land, and you'll later read about Ruth. So where good decisions lead you, Ruth 1. Note that Ruth was a Moabite, not exactly the background that you'd want. And please don't take that misunderstand what I'm saying. It's like, was that awful? I'm just saying if I apply a job, I come up to you at AMCO. Can I have a job? Well, a little background. I just got out of prison today. I killed 2 people and stole a car. Can I have a job? Well, Joe might have an inkling to go. Well, sure, come on in, because he's hired people about like that before. Joe gives... He's a guy of second chance. You have hired people that come out of prison. Good. Joe gives you another chance. Any old prison records, see Joe after the service. No, I'm just saying, Joe's a good guy. He gives you a chance. God gives Ruth a chance. She's awful. No, she's... Note that Ruth was most likely influenced by the Israelite family of Elimelech, Naomi, and her sons. She'd been soaking that up for 10 years. Note that Ruth experienced some tough times, famine, loss of a husband. Whew. Note that Ruth was determined, though, and dedicated. And note that Ruth made a fresh commitment to go back with Naomi. And note that Ruth ended up in a good destination, the land of God, doing God's will. Ruth's choice to return brought blessings to her. Ruth's a pretty neat story. Good decision. Where do they end up? Where do you end up because of those decisions? Your life is a result of the choices you make. Choose wisely and follow God for His direction. It's always good. God's got a plan for you. The verse about Frail and Randy back there, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future, declares the Lord. Pray with me, would you? Thank you, Jesus, that today we get a picture of you. You redeemed Ruth from an area that wasn't exactly godly. You've taken me out of a life that I would have not called godly. Jesus, the thing about it, you do that once and save us. Sometimes we wonder, you're that again, and you've got to pull us out of that again. Like a good father, you do that. So thank you, God, that you've got a plan for us. You've got a plan for everybody in this room. There's nobody left out. No bench sitters in God's family. That means we've got to acknowledge you, the one and only true God. We let you have our lives and say, God, my hands are off. You take me, you do with me what you want. Would you forgive me of all my sins and come into my heart and be my Savior? You did an amazing job giving us your Son. May we take full advantage of that by accepting Him as our Savior. And then may we take full advantage of that every day and learn that the Bible says morning by morning, new mercies I see. So when we mess up one day, next day's clean slate. We get to get up and ask forgiveness. Don't have to get saved all over again because you never let us go. We can't lose fellowship with you when we sin. So Lord, you forgive us. You welcome us back. Thanks for the story that you give us about Ruth to show good choices will pay off. So thank you, Lord, that you today make it so clear what we need to do. We need to follow you and be determined, be dedicated like Ruth was. In Jesus' name, amen.